T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, welcome back. Maloney and Florio. Ben Volen, the Boston Globe, is joining us right now. Ben, I was curious. I know you watched Monday Night Football last night. You saw the Green Bay Packers kind of wake up in that second half. I don't know if you have Aaron Jones or not. If you do, congratulations on your fantasy team.
No, I had Lions 11.5, so I was ticked at some of those pass interference calls last night.
Oh, so you and the guy that almost won $726,000, huh, on that parlay?
Definitely me.
You guys are pissed. Yeah, I'm sure you had that much money on it.
That newspaper money, yep.
Do you watch ESPN or do you watch ESPN2? Do you watch the standard one or do you watch Peyton and Eli?
I'm 100% tuning in to the Manning casts.
You like it?
And I haven't seen...
Fourier crapped all over it earlier.
I haven't seen the numbers from this week, but last week I was very surprised. It only did a fraction of the ratings that the normal
5%.
Game... So I'm guessing most of the ratings are just from like bars and places that just leave the TV on ESPN, because everyone you see on Twitter is talking about the Manning cast.
Tyler, have you seen anything, updates on those ratings?
Because
it was
yet.
Like 5%, would you say 800,000 viewers? I had guessed it's going to at least double week two. We'll see what they look like. But you like it.
I thought they did a much better job of not doing as much wonky football talk, but just kind of like getting into decision-making and talk in stories from their career. And I actually am surprised that I like the interviews. Some of them are very entertaining to hear them. You know, like Brett Favre was a little bit like a zombie. But like last week, Ray Lewis, I was not expecting to really enjoy the Ray Lewis appearance. But they're just talking ball and, you know, revealing some stories and talking about the, and like we need to have a contest between Peyton, Eli, and Tony Romo of just guessing plays, because all three of these guys are unbelievable at just guessing what's going to happen on the field. And whenever they're wrong, you know, whenever a team does something different from what Peyton Eli suggests, usually it ends up blowing up in their face. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I just there's something about the silliness of it. I just don't want to be distracted with their commentary. My thing is, hey, you're really good. It's entertaining. Do it in the broadcast booth. Just allow yourself to, you know, just work without a net. Do it. Everybody wants you to do it. But I just don't think it has anything to do with him being critical. Lou thinks it's because he doesn't want people to think how he can't be critical.
No, I just don't think
on a big broadcast.
I don't think he can do what he say what he says on this one. And it's funny too, because I don't know. You know, sometimes, you know, you're on the radio, you can be critical, you're like, damn, and it kind of gets out and you're like, wow, people heard that. You know, you sort of forget. I think there's a sense, there's a part of that with him on this broadcast. He was doing the telecast, he'd have to go in on Wednesday, meet with the coaches. He is destroying coaches for not calling timeouts, for play calling. He's killing the refs.
Yeah, it's great.
He's killing players. He's killing everything. You know, and seriously, he's destroying everyone when he does these games. It's just honest. If he was on ESPN, like just calling the games, and everyone was watching, I don't think the league would like it. I don't think the coaches would like it. And when you see a guy just in the media, is he really going to rip coaches and players? I know he does it on his telecast, but there's a part of me that feels like he's thinking not that many people are watching. Just seems like that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, but I also think that he could get the same result. Just he could just be a little bit more careful or choose his words a little bit. Or screw it. Who cares? You're Peyton Manning.
So how about
like, so?
Yeah.
So if you're disrespecting some young coach who's 30 something years old, I mean, take it as a badge of honor. This guy knows what he's talking about.
So as far as like jokes and taking shots, if he was on a regular broadcast, because he took some shots at the Patriots now, he brought up some old stories about the New England Patriots.
I felt like the Packers were listening to Eli, you and I, our conversation on Friday about we got to come out and run the ball. I think our conversation was bugged, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do back in the day.
See, he's just throwing salt.
I think he's stirring the pot.
He's just stirring
bit.
The pot. That's well, all he's doing.
Hold on, because the joke sort of continued after that, too.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That second Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and they practiced at your facility all week. Were you a little nervous going back in your facility the next year that they didn't have, like, cameras in your quarterback room?
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers, like, in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see seven guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions out there. Oh, little snap count there, E.
Can I just say, Peyton, how stupid are you? If Bill Belichick's going to bug your locker room, he's not going to bug your locker. He's going to bug the shower. He's not going to put it in the obvious spot. So you just played right into Belichick's
hands.
I would
say he's like, a little strange, seven guys in the shower. I was like, well, what would be strange is if you guys were naked and just going there to talk.
Right.
Okay, you have your clothes on or are you naked? That'd be weird. Hey, I got to talk to you all in the shower. Hey, take your clothes off first.
See, I know part of it is like people are like, oh, he's probably kidding, but no, he's serious. I guarantee he's serious. I feel like every team should be careful with everybody.
Tony Dungy brings this up all the time, though, or he's brought it up several times in the past, that at Foxborough, you didn't leave game plans in the garbage can in your locker room. Like, they really did take extra precautions.
Well, let me ask
you,
but to lose point, but I'm just saying, every coach has said the same thing.
Yeah, you're not playing, let's say you're not playing New England. When you leave the locker room, you leave your playbook in the trash? Like, you don't think, like, the Atlanta Falcons would sit there and be like, ooh.
Honor
like,
code, like, you don't know what look mean? At it.
Like, oh, wait. No. You don't think they go through the locker room when teams leave? And if there's a playbook sitting there, like, it's just a Patriots thing that someone would take advantage of this?
I think if they weren't concerned about the Patriots going over the top, they wouldn't keep bringing it up. Then all these things would just be normal and part of the course of conversation, and it wouldn't have stuck out to them. The fact that they keep bringing it up, clearly, they were worried that the Patriots are going to bump it off.
We were listening to the Patriots radio broadcast.
That's the best thing ever. No, this is the same legend of like that existed with Al Davis. Teams that used to play Al Davis early in his years.
Same thing with
used
Red.
Used to complain
the
about the same thing. So, I mean, has it happened? Like, sure. Like, if somebody left a playbook, the question is, would you have the integrity not to look at it?
Of course not.
Well, you're supposed to not break into
the... I would look at it right away. Where's the first 15?
You're supposed to not break into the visitor's locker room to begin with. I think
this isn't Watergate, okay? But I will say this. What teams did do, they would put their first 15 on the board. They would put their plays on the board. On the offensive side and the defense side, not as much. But the offensive side, some teams would, bam, there's your first 15. Look at them. Okay, reverse, first play. You don't think if a attendant or, you know, game day worker or whatever had some sort of relationship with another guy, maybe it's a defensive coordinator, would say, hey, it looks like they're going to run a reverse on the very first play.
I would
play.
Say this.
You think that's ever happened before?
It's professional sports. If you leave that on that board, I'm going to find out. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to find out. Don't be stupid. Don't put it on the board. Pass out a sheet to these players so it's right in front of them. Like, I just think that's, sorry,
they
but
would
that's
take
sort
our, they,
of sports. They, I will gain every advantage. It's your job to stop me from doing it.
They would take our playbooks. There was a certain time or whatever before the game. Playbooks. The guy would walk around with a cart, and you'd throw your playbook into the cart, and they'd close the thing and then lock it up.
Burn it?
No, because they reused them. No, but you can't leave it in your backpack. You can't make sure you have it in the hotel, because when we call for playbooks, if you did leave it, we want enough time to go back and get it.
Yeah. Okay, so I think it was interesting. Listen, I'm sure the Patriots, when you win that much, yeah, you think they're cheating. That's just the way it is. I get it. And, of course, they've got their own history, right? So we know that they've done some things. But still, what about you like Gronk? Gronk was on this. I missed Gronk.
Hello.
On this telecast. But apparently,
me too.
You were surprised by some of the things he had said about not watching.
Yes. And my question is, once you hear it, I want you guys to tell me whether you believe him or not.
Gronk, when you're watching film and game plan and prepping, are you watching more scheme? Or are you watching kind of safeties or linebackers? And who do you think will be guarding you? What are you looking at?
Well, first off, my teammate Cam Brate just asked me the other day. He goes, Rob, I have a serious question. He goes, do you ever watch film? And I said, no. I don't. I just run by guys. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. So I don't know how to answer that. I don't watch film, but I do watch
keep
film
it simple.
When the team is showing it.
So, do you believe him? I'll Ben start with you.
100,000% yes. Yeah, Gronk is the guy. He goes and he's in high school. He's like, yo, Tom, let me borrow your notes. What was on the test? What do I need to know? Like, can you imagine it, like him just sitting down with his notebook out, studying film for a couple? No, he goes to Brady and says, hey, what are they playing? Who do I need to worry about? And Brady tells him everything.
Actually do go up to Tom, because I know Tom watches, like, I don't know, 40 hours of film a week. I go, Tom, who's covering me this week? What type of coverages are they doing? I go, that's why I love playing with you, Tom. You just know everything.
The dog's barking in the background.
I don't believe him. I don't believe him, because... Listen, I understand he probably sits there and probably talks to Tom. Tom probably gives him some more of the answers to the test already. But everything we hear about Gronk, he's a goofball. There's no question about it. But he is football smart. And I don't know. You tell me, tight end position. Can you just sit there and say, well, I'm just running this route. I don't need to know anything. I don't need to watch film, how they're going to plan on defending it. I don't need anything. Just tell me where I'm running and who's covering me.
Tom.
Can you do that?
I
watch any film? You play tight end. You tell me.
Well, let's, for the record, he watches film. I think what Cam Brate is talking about, what is he watching any extra film? Because you watch film with your position coach throughout the whole week. You're watching third down cutups. You're watching, you know, red zone. You're watching first and second down. It's all you're doing is watching cutups. What I think Cam Brate is asking him is, do you ever stay after and get, let me get some more film work in? And I think that answer is no. So I don't think a guy like him would have to add anything extra. Okay, they're playing this front. Okay, I played this guy 100 times.
Most people, when they hear that sound, thinks he doesn't look at anything. He just sits there all week and practices and wakes up Sunday morning and says, Tom, tell me who's covering me. I'm going to go play football.
Well, he says it. He said, hey, you know, I watch film that they show. So offensive, they watch. That's all you do in the NFL is watch film. That's all you do, nonstop, watching film. So, because they have to fill the time. So the plays are in. You've watched all the practice film. All right, well, you know, the head coach says we can't leave till 4. Well, let's put a game on. And the game's running, and you're just bullcrapping all day.
All right, so what about, real quick, what about Gronk? Because I think Peyton kind of breaks down a play in this, and Gronk
things have been going a little long.
Analysis.
Gronk, he might have been getting a little sleepy.
Okay, go ahead.
He will be patient enough. He'll keep taking what the defense gives him. A little play action. Love it out of the backfield. Love it. Love it. Gronk, you agree with me, right? I mean, that's good offensive football right there.
No, it's great. It's beautiful. I kind of was dazing off, but it's beautiful football.
Eli, how about a follow-up for Gronk off of that outstanding answer? Very insightful.
You'd be a great color guy, Gronk. You got a bright future ahead of you, I think, announcing.
Like a stupid guy. How does Brady deal with this guy? I'm a savant. Like, this is important stuff. Like, there's when you're like, Peyton probably has no time for the, you know, not giving a crap.
No, Peyton was not thrilled. So
he was
just
not happy
just
about
to paint the picture. Gronk was kind of sitting there, mouth kind of half open, just staring at the screen. Peyton's breaking down film, and then there's silence, and you're like, okay, let's throw to the guest. Gronk, what do you got? I'm kind of gazing off here.
Yeah, I don't think it matters for him. There's certain players, like my son calls me all the time. He's like, I can't believe, you know, these coaches have to make me know the front. They make me know all these coverages. And I only cared about three people.
Caleb Fioria.
Yeah, the outside linebacker, the middle linebacker, and the strong safety. That's it. I don't care where anybody else is. Oh, can you know an under front with the three? What? I couldn't draw it up if you paid me. Like, no idea. Laser show. Those guys, they want to know exactly where the front is tilted. Is
Evan
it a three-eye or a two-eye?
We know him as
Wouldn't
the laser
have a clue.
Show.
The big fat guys are D-linemen. The somewhat in-between guys are linebackers.
You like
the
Evan?
Shorter, smaller guys, they're
yeah.
DBs.
Evan works hard.
Beat guy and beat guy. Just crying right now. I'm not asking you to be crying, but I like Evan. I just think it's kind of a little bit over the top with the scouting stuff at times.
Well, I mean, listen.
I don't want to put you
is,
in the spot. I know you're in that club.
If anyone's guilty of trying too hard, it's Volin.
Really?
What a kiss ass he was. Oh my God.
Can we address
what a
this?
Kiss ass.
Do we have the question? I mean, do we? Because in 9.5 minutes, I don't want to play the answer.
Jeez.
But do we have the question?
Something I've been thinking about for a while, and it's about long snapping, actually.
I mean, are you kidding me?
I chew on that a lot.
Were you stuck? Like we were talking, this is something like when we interview him and like he's just not going anywhere. He's a miserable. Maybe he lost against the Jets or a division game. And we're sort of like, okay, we got to, let's ask him about the Army-Navy game. Yeah. Ask him about special teams. Long snapper? Did everybody in the beat look at you like Lawrence really Taylor. Bad? He's going to go on for 8 or 9 minutes, which is what he did.
You want to read this?
That is the transcript from Bill Belichick's 9.5-minute answer.
This is what a waste of paper.
Looks like a magic art thing, you know? Where you
say, honestly, why would you put an end to that press conference?
You know what? It was what everyone was talking about for the next 3 days afterwards. So I'd say props to me for asking the question.
By accident.
They got everyone talking.
But you went into it with that goal in mind.
No, well, I went into it. It was
what
something,
was your goal? What were we trying to get out of
it? I thought of it. I think it was I was in a hotel room in Tampa during the preseason watching a game on TV, and I just probably had a few pops in me too. And I was just I was thinking about that. Like, I get why you carry a punter and a kicker, but I mean, is long snapping really that hard that you need to carry an entire guy on your roster? Why can't the center do it? Why can't you cross train a few guys? And like, let's be honest, is there a single person in the history of the universe that is better equipped to answer that question than Bill Belichick?
I mean, yeah,
he's you know, coaching for decades, a special teams guru. So, you know, it was a Friday, it was the end of the press
and
conference.
This has just been on your mind, right? For how long?
Something
is
that
long snapping that difficult that you need to use a roster on one player who does only that? Can't you just cross train a few guys to do long snapping and then have more flexibility with that roster?
So, can you summarize the 9.5-minute answer?
It's a long, winding road.
1,506 words.
A long, winding road of that.
Some poor Patriots intern, they have to type a transcript every single week and they email it to all the reporters. That is what Christian has in his
1,500
hand.
Words.
The whole answer fit to one page in a size 9 font.
Like your big article, is it 1,500 words?
Actually, it's more. It's 2,500.
Jeez, 1,500 words.
No, but seriously. And then he goes on for 9 minutes
to me,
off the top of his head.
Mid-80s. and really, the key guy in that was Diossi, in my opinion.
Okay, Steve Diossi.
I mean, good God.
I mean, 9 minutes off the top of his head about the history of long snapping and special teams.
Jeez. He threw in Steve Diossi.
Of course.
He's got some ink.
And he loves Diossi.
Gogolak.
He loves Diossi.
And,
The Patriots announced
it's
that they're going to honor.
Yeah, it's a pretty hard job. It's not as hard as it used to be because you're not allowed to hit the center, especially on field goals. And
true.
Great answer. Yeah, good question, by the way.
Excellent. Gold star for Ben.
Fish in a barrel.
Patriots announced they're going to honor Julian Edelman at halftime, and Rex Ryan gives his thoughts on Mac Jones. We're going to do that next as Marloni and Foley continue right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back to the MFers with Ben Volen. Now, the Patriots announced earlier today that they, Julian Edelman, is going to be honored at halftime of this week's game against the New Orleans Saints at Gillette Stadium. Which, you know, I don't know, sort of like a last-minute thing. I think it's kind of like a rush to celebrate Julian Edelman, which, I don't know, I just thought maybe you announce it earlier in the year that week three we'll do it. Why not do it week four?
Take away from the Brady game?
Well, don't you think the Patriots would like to maybe downplay it and make it about... I know Brady and Gronk are coming back, but we're going to honor Julian Edelman at halftime. That's the draw, right? Or would Jules say, hey, don't take that from me. That's Brady's game.
If I'm Edelman, I wouldn't want to be
Don't use me as a cudgel against him.
Edelman's got no problem being used.
True.
Whatever you want me to do, Bill. Whatever you want me to do, Robert.
Okay, whatever you like.
Whatever, if I can help you out, whatever it needs.
Yeah. What do you need me to do? How much attention? Do you want me to like call up Brady and bring him out and get him drunk and, you know, hey, this is my big day. You
he deserves
come out
to be
me?
Honored. There's no question about it. He absolutely 100% does. He's a great Patriot. He'll be a red jacket. I just thought it'd be interesting if if they scheduled it next week, it'd just be an interesting story.
Just to bring up an old take from me years ago. So they obviously never believed either two things with Gronk, because Gronk never got this, and I thought Gronk would get this. See, everybody else does get the – when they announce the retirement, they get the halftime. Okay, let's celebrate them. Let's show a movie on You Can Speak to the fans. They give it to everybody, but they didn't give it to him. So they must have believed that, one, he was never really retiring and planned on coming back, or they were really irritated and angry with him, so they didn't want to do it. Which one do you think it is?
I say A, because – if they wanted to really hold a grudge on Gronk, they wouldn't have traded him to the Bucks. I think they would have squatted on his rights and said, nope, sorry, you retired and you're our property. But they traded him away, said, you know, go with God, have fun in Tampa. So I don't think they hold a grudge as much. I mean, I think the Crafts probably do a little bit over the timing of everything and how he kind of screwed them at tight end and free agency a couple years ago. But I think it's more they just didn't expect him to actually stay retired.
Okay.
All right, Rex Ryan was on Get Up, and he was talking about they're bringing up Mac Jones and kind of like what they thought of him. I think Orlovsky was praising Mac Jones, and he just sort of jumped in and had this to say.
The question is not if Bill Belichick's still Bill Belichick. Mm. This dude ain't Tom Brady. I've faced him a million times.
Yeah.
I look at him, I'd beat his tail off if I played against this quarterback. I can guarantee you that. Hey. This is not Tom Brady.
I'm not
all right?
saying
and but it's not like you're defending it and stuff. There's no defense to it because I went against this cat forever. He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah,
this guy, he doesn't have the arm talent of Tom Brady.
Right.
And I can also tell you this. Belichick is still the greatest. All right? I get it. But when he never had Tom Brady, I whipped his butt, and I'll whip this kid's butt. That's the
yeah,
fact.
Rex, our coach is fact. Better than your coach when your player is
Give me Tom Brady. I beat Bill Belichick.
Rex Ryan. I like that Rex, though. That is good. He's right, though. I mean, they're praising him. I mean, he's probably right. Listen, this is a young Mac Jones, right? Rex Ryan had some good defenses. You can't deny that. He's a good defensive coordinator. A little crazy.
And Brady doesn't get enough credit for his arm strength. I mean, he doesn't throw the 70-yard rainbows like Mahomes, but on the deep outs and the sideline throws, I mean, Brady hums it. And for him to survive in the bad New England weather and the cold, I agree with Rex that Mac Jones' arm is not Tom Brady's
See,
arm.
When it comes to Tom Brady, I feel like it's almost like he is so good. He may not be getting the attention that he deserves a couple games into this. Can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers had 9 touchdowns when he was 44 years old? When he turns 44, if he starts off the way Brady started off, can you imagine what that talk would be like? This guy, it's out of control. He's now 500. He needs 500 yards to pass Drew Brees. We all know when that's going to happen. Is it the third quarter here in Gillette next week, or is it the fourth quarter, or is it at halftime? I don't know. But at some point during that game here in Gillette in 2 weeks, he will pass Drew Brees here at Gillette. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know if – I mean, we got to come up with a new word because it's there are no comparables anymore. Like, he is the comparable. So you can't go, oh, Montana. You can't go Brett Favre. You can't do Dan Marino. You can't do any of the greats because none of them have come close. Peyton Manning, you can't do anything. Drew Brees, I mean, and then Drew Brees, I guess the one thing he said, I did it in less years than you, right? Isn't that – or because Drew Brees did it quicker – I guess, ultimately, younger than Tom would. Maybe that's the feather in your cap.
I mean, I don't think these guys truly care about the passing yard. It's not like the home run record.
No.
And it's going to get broken by, like, Matt Ryan and, like, schlub quarterbacks who just play forever and put up big yards.
Who put up bigger numbers earlier in their career because it was easier,
yeah,
I guess.
They just play in the
past for 20 years.
No. Yeah.
You may not have to,
right?
Though.
I remember talking about this with Michael Irvin at one of the Super Bowls recently, where Brady has just completely warped our perception of what success is. And it's like a guy like Michael Irvin or Troy Aikman. It's like, oh, you won 3 Super Bowls. Oh, how quaint. Like, that's nice. Oh, you didn't win 7
All
like Brady.
Special. You're so special.
Yeah, he's like ruined everyone else. Yeah. Like, he just makes everyone look like a chump compared to him.
Yeah, I mean, because there was if you get an opportunity to play in the Super Bowl, that's like a big deal. Getting an opportunity to win one is almost unheard of when you think about all the players that have come through the NFL that don't even sniff an opportunity to play in that game, let alone win one. So, I mean, that's an excellent point because you would think Troy Aikman, 3 Super Bowls. You would think Joe Montana, 4. You would think Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, just throw him out there. Peyton Manning.
What is the stat real quick? You're talking about touchdowns in his 20s. I saw this on Twitter. He's about to surpass. He's got more touchdowns in his 40s than he did in his 20s?
With 14 more touchdown passes, Brady, who's only 44 years old, will have more touchdown passes in his 40s than he had in his entire 20s.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he used to lead the league with like 28, and now 28's like league average, you know? Justin Herbert had 30 last year as a rookie. Yeah.
See, and that's when you talk about these records. We look right now how impressive it is and how unbelievable it is, and I would sit there and go, this record's never going to be broken. The longevity is never going to be broken, but I mean, I just feel like these kids, they come into the league younger, in their 20s, early 20s, and then they can easily play for 15, 18 years based on, one, you know, camps being easy, no one can get hit, and the improvements of just mental and physical health. That alone will give you an extra couple years.
Yeah, it will. All right, listen.
So he's the greatest. That said, it doesn't mean he's the best.
Can I give you a little breaking news?
Go ahead.
TV ratings are in.
Yes.
800,000 in week one. Yes. Watch the Manning cast. 1.8 in week two.
Look at that. More than doubled. Yeah, I love it. So you're talking like 12, 13% as opposed to like 5. Right. I don't know what the number was, but still, yeah, more than doubled. And I think maybe next week it goes up even more. And the more people watch it, the more people find out. And, of course, we're talking about the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning version of Monday Night Football. All right, this hour of Maloney and Foray is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. When we come back, it's big deal, no big deal, NFL version. We'll take a look around the league. That's next on Maloney and Foray.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You got anything to say for yourself?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
Alrighty. It's must be 4:30. Losing your hair?
Yep.
I know Ben Volen isn't. It's kind of a big deal for me. Treating it with Dr. Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, not a big deal. So call them up right now. Check them out. They're waiting for you at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Tyler, take it away.
Christian Fourier, the Kansas City Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid, and your guy, Eric Bieniemy, calling plays. They seem to be in trouble right now, according to Ben Volen's column reading here. It says they escaped a 33-29 win over the Browns in week one. They blew a big-time lead against the Ravens this week. 35-24 was the lead entering the fourth quarter. They blew it, of course, in Lamar Jackson and the Harbaugh brothers go home as winners. But the Chiefs, 1-1, and they don't seem invincible anymore. Big deal or no big deal, Christian Fourier, the Chiefs?
No big deal. I know a lot of people are going to, you know, look at their defense and look how they're struggling and then say, you know, hey, listen, they can't figure it out. This team can score at will. I'm not going to look at this one game as some sort of indictment that they're still not the best team with the best player. Because that's where I start, Ben Volen. I start with who is the best football player not named Tom Brady, and it's Patrick Mahomes.
But you are wrong. It is a big deal. Their defense is playing like crap right now.
They're always
dead last
crap
in the league. Mm-hmm. And this is a team where reaching the second round of the playoffs is unacceptable. It's get to the Super Bowl and win it. They want to be a dynasty. And two poor games to start the season. You say they always score. They blew an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter. They went like fumble, punt, interception. So they totally just choked that game away. Now, you could say it's a little fluky, but they do not look right to start the season. Yes, they're going to be contenders, but I'm concerned about the Chiefs, and they don't look like the Super Bowl champs right now.
I say no big deal because I think we go through this every single year with the Kansas City Chiefs. You can run on them. You can run on them. You can still score on them. Their defense isn't that good. That's a team that shouldn't be worried week two. Because that's like old school Pats. Like, okay, you know, defense, whatever. It'll get right as you get going. Now, maybe it doesn't, but I'm just saying there are many years, the last 2 years, we sat there and said, this defense, I'm sorry, it's going to be their Achilles heel. And either get to that Super Bowl or they win the Super Bowl the last 2 years. So I'd say, I'd still say it's no big deal.
Yeah,
too early.
I always think of the, they're not good anymore from Trent Dilfer. That whole Kansas, when they played in Kansas City, and that we all know how that ended up. There are teams like this you know, when you the first 4 weeks of the season, there is this, okay, are we reading our own clippings? Do we have to show up? You know, how important is it? How much effort do we need to put into it? That's the last team I'm worried about.
So in the AFC West, the division that hosts the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, we have two teams that are 2-0 out of the seven teams in the entire league, and that's the Broncos and the Raiders. Broncos, an easy start to go 2-0, beating the Giants and Jags. Raiders beat the Ravens and Steelers, but the only two AFC teams that are undefeated are in the AFC West, and the Broncos and Raiders. Lou Maloney, big deal or no big deal?
No big deal, because I don't know if anybody believes in either one of them, but I'll say this. The Raiders 2-0 is very impressive. Like, that's just very impressive. We don't know who the Raiders are. Maybe those two big wins might be the difference of making the playoffs or not. You know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, like, those are good wins for them. I just feel like they're still the Raiders. So, but I say no big deal because, great, they're 2-0. Does anybody think they're the two best teams in the AFC? I don't think anyone does. So, no big deal.
I kind of like Denver more than the Raiders, though. Yes, their opponents haven't been as strong, but to go on the road and win at the Giants, win at the Jaguars, win both games by double digits, that's always an impressive feat in
the
NFL.
At the Jaguars is impressive?
Whatever. To go on the road.
It's hot in Florida.
Oh, shut up. I'm just getting to a point. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think it's always impressive to go on the road and win by double digits, and I just think they've had the pieces over the years. They just haven't had a quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater's been throwing for 250, 300 yards, not throwing picks like Mac Jones. I actually believe in the Broncos. I think they're going to be a contender.
They got the Jets this week, so they're 3-0. Go.
So the thing with the Raiders, though, is that, okay, when do they shake the same old Raiders? At one point in time, do their local broadcast teams, their radio talk show hosts, their fans say, same old Raiders? Because last year they were 2-0. They come up into New England. They play against the Patriots. And they start, you know, fumbling, stumbling, getting penalties. Terrible, terrible football. They should have won the game. They knew exactly how to stop Cam Newton, but they just made so many mistakes they couldn't overcome it. So I say no big deal until they show me otherwise.
So in week number two, guys, four quarterbacks go down. It's Tua Tagovailoa, Tyrod Taylor, don't call him Tyrod, Andy Dalton, and Carson Wentz. Tua's day-to-day, Tyrod's going to IR. Mm. Dalton's a week-to-week right now, and Carson Wentz has two sprained ankles.
Jeez.
And may miss this week's game against the Titans. Big deal, no big deal. Four quarterbacks going down. Let's go with Lou.
I'm going to say it's a big deal for this reason alone. And I'm going to throw in Ryan Fitzpatrick in week one, because no one's called Cam Newton. Nobody. Nobody. No whispers of Cam, come on in. We've lost a Tyrod Taylor for 6 weeks or whatever it's going to be. Fitzy's done for the year. His old coach doesn't want him. He's passed it on now, I think, three times. Tua down there. You got Jacoby Brissett. Like, nobody has called Cam Newton. No one.
So it's funny you just mentioned the Texans, because they put Taylor on IR today, meaning he's out for at least three games.
Yeah.
Included in that stretch is a week five game against the Patriots.
Ooh.
Now, they've only got a rookie in Davis Mills and some practice squad guy in Jeff Driscoll. Nick Caserio knows Cam Newton from his time here in New England last year. I don't know. You know, it's going to take Cam 5 days to onboard because of the whole vaccination thing, but maybe you sign him now. Say, hey, we just want you for week five against the Patriots.
Mm.
So anyway, big deal, because Tua, this is like a crossroads for him. He can't stay healthy. Wentz can't stay healthy. These guys getting hurt, they all stink.
And that's kind of what we're, you know, you look at it. It is a big deal because you're looking at the next crop of quarterbacks that were coming in from college. The young quarterbacks, you look at it, Carson Wentz, the dude was having an unbelievable MVP season, blows his knee out, and then they end up going to the Super Bowl. He's not the quarterback that wins it. So Tua Tagovailoa, it seems like the dude just doesn't know how to take a hit, doesn't know how to protect himself. Andy Dalton, I mean, does anybody even care? But it is a big deal, because I would love for Cam Newton to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots when they played him. I would love
Chiefs,
it.
Texans.
I would love for him to be the quarterback of the Texans. And I would, because they would lose. And I just want to sit back and listen to all the excuses that he would make. Oh, you know what? I didn't have enough time. Oh, you know what?
Look at the weapons they gave me.
Oh, look at the weapons they gave me. This is Trig. Is Trig a step down?
Another offense I got to learn.
What goes first? Algebra 2?
Did you take either?
I did. I was good. And then I think I flunked out of Trig.
So we know that Tua went down in that Bills-Dolphins game. It wasn't really a game. It was pretty much an embarrassment. 14-0 after the first quarter. 35-0 the final score. Tua lasted two series. Dolphins don't really put up a fight with Jacoby Brissett. He was 24-40 for 169 and one pick. Big deal or no big deal? the Dolphins not really putting up a fight after Tua goes down and hit mollywopped 35-0.
That is such a big deal because it's a home opener. You're playing, you know, the team that's the barometer in your division. You're playing the Bills, and you lay a big fat egg. Mm-hmm. And your quarterback that everyone's worried about goes and gets hurt again. And Brissett is clearly not ready to play either because he plays like garbage. So huge, embarrassing loss for Brian Flores and those guys. 35-0 at home. That is really embarrassing.
Isn't this kind of one of those predictable games? So you have a perennial playoff team, a team on the rise. They lose their home opener. They're not ready. The Steelers surprise them. The good teams always recover. All the good teams always recover. The crappy teams, they try it. They have it in their heart, but they just don't have the personnel or the coaching. I wasn't surprised at all that Buffalo went down there and beat them up. I wasn't a big fan of Tua. I don't think you are either.
No.
So I think this is just a matter of time before he became exposed.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal because you look at Miami now maybe a little bit differently. Maybe you look at that loss in week one and think, man, it's even more of a crushing blow because you wonder what this team's going to look like the last 3 weeks. You know, do they turn into, are they a 1-5 team? And you can look back and see who they beat. You, opening week. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, this right now, to me, Tua, you put all your eggs into Tua. I don't think Jacoby Brissett kind of is the guy for them. So this might be a really bad football team for a while.
Honestly, if I'm Brian Flores or Chris Greer down there, and I saw Tua's first game against the Patriots and then how he got hurt in week two, my hand's starting to twitch. I'm starting to reach for that phone. Deshaun Watson,
no question.
Give me a call. Let's
You're about
do
to
it,
waste
Houston.
A year if you don't make that move.
You know,
not that he can play for you this year, though.
Yeah. No, I think that will be interesting because if it's already his second year and he has a little Jimmy Garoppolo, but without, I think, is of a higher
without
ceiling.
Without going to the Super Bowl.
Without a higher ceiling. Yeah, I think he's got that. And I don't like calling people injury prone, but I do think there are some that are just by their mannerisms, by the way they identify danger, you know, like stranger danger. Like, run for the hills? I don't think he's got it.
It's not an accident that Brady, outside of that one season where he suffered the freak injury, it's not an accident that he's never gotten hurt. He's smart enough to know how to avoid danger. Tua does not seem to have
that.
And
I think Mac has that, though. I think he has that uncanny ability to throw and retreat. Like, throw and angle his body away and protect his hand. Guys like Tua break their pinky, break their thumb, because they just don't know how to protect themselves.
So in week number two, we saw the kicker, Christian, your favorite position. They just had three games this week. The Washington football team, they won on a made field goal on a second chance after an offsides penalty, which was super controversial. They beat the New York Giants. The Vikings, they missed a field goal at the Cardinals.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he
That's
missed
no
it!
Good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
And the Titans and Randy Bullock hit a game-winning field goal at the Seattle Seahawks. So, Christian Fourier, big deal, no big deal. Kickers deciding three games this
man.
Week.
Man, you know what? Okay.
You hate kickers.
It's not a big deal. You know why? Because this is what they're supposed to do. This is what they're supposed to. This is their job, okay? You sit there. You don't practice. You don't do anything. Nobody ever touches you. You basically can have a separate career and be a kicker or a long snapper in the NFL. Most of these guys are selling real estate and they're kicking at the same time, or they're selling insurance. So no big deal. I'm not going to give them credit for doing something they're supposed to do.
Come on, it is a huge deal. Think about what's at stake here. I'm just saying, you play football games. The Washington football team's about to go 0-2. No, they get a break. They kick a field goal. The Vikings, they're trying to avoid going 0-2. They should be 1-1, but the guy missed a field goal. The Titans should be 0-2. You know, Seattle should be 2-0. And it came down to field goal kick. It's how important that position is, which when he brings up to Nick Falk hitting 33 straight. I mean, this is kind of the NFL. It's, we said before, you start off 0-2, you're screwed. And it saved a couple teams.
It's definitely a big deal. And kickers have never been more insanely talented than they are now. Greg Zuerlein, 56 yards at the buzzer to win. Week one, the guy in the Raiders, 55-yarder. And then, you know, in the same game, there was like a 53 and a 55. These kickers now have such big legs. And frankly, as good as Nick Folk has been, he's not a guy that's going to hit those 55-yarders. So the Patriots are at a little bit of a disadvantage because they don't have one of the big-legged kickers.
Yeah,
the kicker from the Jets, Amendola.
Danny?
No, it was not Danny Amendola.
Matt Amendola.
He looked like Mikhail Baryshnikov. He looked like he was a ballerina, ballet dancer.
Twinkle toes?
No. Well, talk about like high and tight, uptight, in the middle. Can you leave something to the imagination, please? All white, no pads whatsoever, built like a a bodybuilder, I don't know, it was my issue. It's my thing with kickers. Put some pads on, okay? Put some pads in your pants, and then act like the rest of us.
I'm shocked that you nailed Mikhail Baryshnikov.
I know, me too.
Holy smokes.
Me too. I didn't fumble my way through that.
Plus one to you. There's a lot of questions.
Eligibility restrictions, damn it!
A lot of questions coming out of Lambeau Field, specifically Green Bay. Is Aaron Rodgers tanking the Packers season after they got demolished in Jacksonville by Jameis Winston and the Saints after week one? They responded in a big way last night, 35-17 the final score, 255 yards and four scores for Aaron Rodgers, and he was certainly happy to shut up the critics in the postgame press conference.
I just think people like to say a lot of bullshit, and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
So Rodgers, the Packers are now 1-1 despite that embarrassing showing in week one. Lou Maloney, is it a big deal or no big deal? The Packers getting back on track.
No big deal because they beat the Detroit Lions at home. It was 17-10 at half.
With pass interference calls, Jesus, too.
You woke up in the second half. Good for you, but we're going to start pulling the, ripping the trolls and everybody think there's no issue.
Such a baby.
There's no issues in Green Bay. Look, we were at home and just beat the Lions. Really?
Again, another predictable outcome. Okay, you got embarrassed on the road by the Saints. Has anybody seen what the Saints did in their last game against the Carolina Panthers? Historic lows on offense. Historic lows. Like the worst offensive performance.
You beat
and defensive
the Lions,
performance.
Dude.
The fact is that he's so odd to me. I'm not really sure what to make of Aaron Rodgers. On one hand, I think the guy is just an entitled ass. And the other hand, I go, well, you know what? He just doesn't really give a crap about what anyone thinks.
Nice to come back in here after a game like that.
He's got a little Jay Cutler in him, but I feel like his teammates like him more than Jay Cutler's team liked him. Is that fair?
I feel like Rodgers' teammates put up with him because they know he's the franchise and everyone loves him. Mm. He's so unlikable, though.
So what is it? Do you think he's more Jay Cutler, or is he just like misunderstood, mystery man?
Yeah, I think he wants us to believe he's misunderstood. He wants to give that air of he's so complicated. And he's just, such a
deep guy. I host Jeopardy. I'm smarter than you.
Yeah, and he sucked at that, too. Let's be honest.
I didn't even care. He looks like a homeless person, though. And he's like, that whole man bun needs to go.
Oh, one final story.
Yeah, what are you doing?
After a loss put them at 0-2, my team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Urban Meyer released this statement to their fans, which was absolutely embarrassing. It said a message for hashtag Duval. Hang in there with us. We're going to get better. The thing about Jacksonville and the 904, go to sleep knowing there's not going to be any group working harder to get this thing right. To get this thing flipped.
Signed
Urban Meyer.
You should answer this question. Go ahead. Is this a big deal or no big deal? You go. You're from here.
This means absolutely nothing to me. This is a loser statement by a guy who's backed into a corner that should probably go back to college football.
Does he think he's talking to boosters?
I don't know who he thinks he's talking to. This is embarrassing.
This is Tim Tebow.
This is a college statement.
Sent this to him, texted him, said, Coach, remember I did the same speech back in college when I was at Florida?
We're going to get better.
No one's going to work harder than me.
This tells me two things. It's been two losses of the first year of a complete rebuild, and he's already releasing the statement. So it tells me two things. One, the losing is already getting to him. He hates the losing, and that's what everyone said about him. He's not going to be able to handle the losing. And two, this sounds like he's talking himself into staying. It sounds like he already wants out, and he's got to talk himself into staying.
Yeah, because let's face it, Jaguar fans look at this and go, yeah, Urban, whatever. It's like this every year.
And Urban's not in the picture that they tweet.
You think I'm panicking? We're always 0-2.
I don't understand why he thought this was a good idea. Like, the college mentality doesn't work for the media in NFL towns, and it damn sure doesn't work for the players.
He's got to please
it
the boosters.
Work. Who are the boosters?
The boosters.
Like the guys, people who are paying for tickets?
The alumni. He's got to please the alumni.
This to me is the most fascinating thing to watch. Him just completely just, like, when is he going to come down with something where he has to step away? When is that going to happen?
Yeah, he's setting himself up for a week six health scare or something.
Yeah, because like that, it happened in Florida twice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. When is that going to happen? Oh, you know what? The stress of the NFL life has really gotten to me. I'm going to have to step away.
Because my own health.
Yes.
Oh, USC, you need a coach?
Oh, yeah. And then, you know what? I went to a doctor. They said I'm cleared. Well, I can't go back to Jacksonville. You know what? I'm going to go to L.A.
Yeah, why not?
I feel like
right?
I can win there.
Let's do that. That sounds good. All right, Ben, what do you got? You got work on anything big this week? What do we got? You want to tease any of your big stories?
I just asked him. He's done for the week.
He's like, what do you run? Not much. Actually, online right now, bostonglobe.com, I did a film review of the game, talked all about how I didn't think Josh McDaniels showed a lot of faith in Mac Jones or the offensive line against the Jets and kind of had to rely on a lot of gimmicks and deception to move the ball, which is fine for a rookie quarterback, but let's just kind of call it what it is, and broke down other elements of the game too. I really like Juwan Bentley on the defensive side of the ball and a few other things. So check out my film review on Boston.
So is it too early to get a preview of the Saints? Because I know we won't talk to you until next week. Is it too early for you to tell us exactly who they are, given what we saw the first 2 weeks?
I just think that their week one game was a total mirage. And week two
was more Green Bay than it was.
Yeah,
then,
week two is who they are, where they, I think they gained 128 total yards the entire game. I am not a believer in Jameis Winston. I don't think Sean Payton's going to be a miracle worker with him. They are severely underhanded, shorthanded. On offense without Michael Thomas. And then they haven't used Taysom Hill at all through 2 games.
How bizarre is that? You got Drew Brees, you use Taysom Hill a lot. Now you got Jameis Winston, you don't use him.
So my guess is they just want Jameis to get comfortable. And especially last week, they fell behind. So Taysom is more of a play from ahead kind of weapon. But I would expect, because they haven't used him much, we might see a lot of him this Sunday in New England.
So you expect a W?
I think
are they going
to
eat
it? It would be a big shock to the system for the Patriots if they lose this game. They got to beat the Saints at home.
Sean Payton cannot be happy. There's no way that he is happy with this.
It's his fault. He's the one that brought Winston in and thought it was going to work.
Well, he did the same thing with Bridgewater. Does the whole like a red shirt year, come back to school and relearn
but
everything.
I'm just saying, feeling bad for Sean Payton is like feeling bad for Bill last year when he brought in Cam and thought it would work. Right?
I mean, you're the one that brought this guy in here. He actually saw him firsthand for a whole year and said, you know what? This guy will work.
He was in QB school.
That's my point.
So he was a good student. He studied hard. He passed some of the tests and felt like he was ready to graduate, and apparently he's not.
One of the best back condoms, tandems in the league, right?
And Kamara's not really doing much either. He only had like 5 yards rushing on 8 attempts.
He's the only guy you have to worry about.
The only person. So over and under, Alvin Kamara. Total yards, I'm going to put it at 65. Combined yards, catching and receiving, 65 yards, over, under.
I say over just because I think they're going to have to feed him 40 times. He might average 1.5 yards a carry, but I do think he gets over. Okay. But they're gonna keep him contained.
But you talk about like having one weapon.
Yeah, that's all
like
he got.
One weapon to shut down. That is
We were just going through the names of the guys.
Well, Chris Hogan, don't worry about Chris Hogan.
Well, he do Chris Hogan things, but little Jordan who?
Humphrey?
Little
maybe?
Jordan Humphreys?
Little Jordan.
That's his real name?
Pronounce the apostrophe.
Yeah. We'll dive into the Saints a little bit.
I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say?
Oh, come on. Was that week one?
I believe that was week one. Yes.
Oh, yeah. My God.
After they beat the Packers.
Oh, my God. I forgot what he said.
That guy. One thing he always told me. What did he always tell me? Oh, that is beautiful.
What did you say?
Ben, thanks for stopping in, buddy. Appreciate
it. Good job, Ben.
Appreciate you guys.
We'll talk to you next week. All right, coming back. When we come back after this, a lot of talk yesterday, even in our interview with Mac Jones, talking about this conservative offense and taking shots downfield. Josh McDaniels spoke today and gave us some of those answers. You'll hear that next in the fourth and final hour of Maloney and Fourier.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.